What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Mavs Film Room podcast, coming to you on February 22nd, 2024. The Mavericks just beat the Phoenix Suns 123-113, a huge win that gives the Mavericks a 7-game win streak and the tiebreaker over the Phoenix Suns in the standings. And the Mavericks get to 10 games over 500 on the season, the first time that they're 10 games over 500 since February 10th, 2022. It's been a long time. I'm joined here with Vinay. Vinay, how's it going, man?
Good, good. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here too. It's a great win. We didn't know what we're gonna expect coming out of the All-Star break. I think a lot of us thought that the team might look rusty, and they did in the first half. But in the second half, Luka took over. Kyrie continued to play at a high level, and the Mavericks pulled away for a 10-point win.
Yeah, I mean, I'm first of all wearing sunglasses because of Luka's All-Star game entrance, so that's the only reason I'm wearing them. But, you know, I mean, that's what you get superstars for. That's what you get Kyrie in acquisition. You take the risk of whatever it was with this off-court stuff and all of that. Like, you do it for the caliber of player that he is. And when you talk about Luka, I mean, I think he's the best player in the world, him or Jokic, and he just does what he does. He can break down any defense, like you saw repeatedly today. He just gets open shots for his teammates. Sometimes he fell in love with the jump shot a little bit second half, but I mean, the third quarter kind of just took the game over with his three, so it's hard to complain about it from that standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought the Mavericks looked a little bit sloppy in the first half. It didn't look like they were doing anything particularly poorly, but it just felt like Phoenix was playing better than them, hitting more shots than them. But in the second half, the Mavericks came out with aggression. They went on a 17-0 run to turn what was a 3-point deficit into a 14-point lead. You know, Phoenix did try to, you know, come back and make the game close. It was a 5-point game going into the fourth quarter. But again, the Mavericks took advantage of the fact that Phoenix is, you know, by net rating, the worst fourth quarter team in the league. And I'm just trying to look at the quarter by quarter score here. I cannot find it. But I guess the Mavericks outscored Phoenix by 5 in the fourth quarter because they
I can get it real quick. Okay. I mean, third quarter, they outscored them 36-28. Fourth quarter, 27-22. I think, I mean, holding the Suns to the under 30, both those quarters, I think is kind of the takeaway for me. Like, for me, that second half really reminded me of, I don't want to go too far, but man, that really reminded me of the West Conference Finals run, just with the rotations. And the fact that PJ and Gafford in their fourth game as Mavericks, I know there was some All-Star break where maybe they got some time to like gel with new like defensive schemes and whatnot, but man, they were just on it. Like, they've been on the team the whole year in training camp. Like, I was just amazed that those guys were always in the right spots on defense. I can't say enough about those two. Gafford especially, he didn't have his best game statistically, but I mean, he was just a force on the offensive rebounds, to the point where I think Kidd went to Gafford to close the game over Lively, which might be an interesting topic for the rest of the season. Like, you got Maxey and PJ that might close out games at the 4 and 5. You might have Gafford close games at the 5. You might have Lively close games at the 5. Like, we have so much like versatility and options now to close games with around the best backcourt in basketball.
Absolutely. And, you know, Lively, I think, isn't a great matchup against Phoenix. I mean, in the last game, we also saw him play sparingly. But tonight, the minutes were pretty evenly distributed among all the Mavericks fives. And Maxey Kleber was actually the minutes leader out of all their centers. He played almost 26 minutes tonight. Gafford played 17. Derek Lively played 16. But yeah, Daniel Gafford's impact, I thought, especially in the second half, was huge. He was a plus 11 in the game. He only had 4 points and 5 rebounds. But I thought his defense at the rim was big. And PJ Washington, I think, like you said, the story of this game for the Mavericks. And, you know, you're not the only person who had the Western Conference Finals or that playoff run cross your mind in the second half. I mean, I had the same thought too. The Mavs were just defending their asses off, and PJ Washington was a big reason for it. He slowed down Kevin Durant. And when you have a guy like that willing to do whatever it takes to stop the opponent, it just makes everyone else's job easier on defense and allows them to buy in. And you saw the Mavericks on a string defensively in the third quarter as well as the fourth quarter.
Yeah, everyone was involved. Luka was involved. Kyrie was involved. That's what it takes. Like, you can't just be like a non-participant on defense. Like, you can't. You have to participate. Everyone does. If you want to win a championship, that's what it takes. So that comes from your stars. And Luka and Kyrie rebounding the ball today. I mean, Luka had 9 boards. Kyrie had 5. I don't think they get enough credit for their rebounding. And when you add all this size to your lineup, now the Mavericks can be like one of the better rebounding teams in the league after all these years of being in the bottom five.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, actually, because I'm going to look right here to see what the team total on rebounds was. It was 48 tonight, but still, that's an above average game for the Mavericks. Prior to this, I believe they had three straight games of 50 plus rebounds as a team.
Nurkic was a
Yeah.
problem a little bit in the
In the
first
first
half,
half,
especially on the rebounds.
I did like the way that the Mavericks adjusted in the second half. I mean, as we tweeted at halftime, the front court is really where the Mavericks do have an advantage against a team like the Suns, whose big men are, Jusuf Nurkic and Drew Eubanks. No disrespect to them, but I like our trio of Derek Lively, PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, even Maxi Kleber better than those guys. And I thought the Mavericks did a great job in the second half of getting them more involved and allowing them to make more of an impact on the game than they did in the first half.
Yeah, PJ Washington. I mean, he went 4 for 10, but I love the drives that he's willing to attack. Like KD's 7 foot and has a ridiculous wingspan. Like he had some tough contests on PJ at the rim, but PJ wasn't afraid to attack him. I know it wasn't the most efficient performance from him, but that type of element is what this team needs. Like especially come playoff time, because if you can only shoot threes as a role player, like they're going to take that away from you. I think Bob Myers has a good quote from a. thing. Like if that's the only thing you can do, you're not going to be able to play in the playoffs realistically, because teams will take away your first option. You have to have a second, third option. And PJ Washington's got some stuff to his game. It's not just a normal 3-and-D role player where he's just sitting in the corner and if he doesn't have a three, he has to pass it up. Like he can do stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the most versatile offense that we've seen in the Luka era by far. And there was many instances tonight that PJ Washington was able to attack closeouts by Kevin Durant. I mean, he didn't always finish at the rim, but at the same time, the fact that the Mavs now have a player who can do that just makes their offense a lot less predictable. And PJ Washington is an underrated playmaker, in my opinion. He can make plays out of the dribble drives, at the nail in the short roll. And so he's a very versatile player on offense. I want to go quickly back to Kyrie Irving, that you mentioned. I mean, great effort from him offensively. I thought in the first half, especially, he brought it when a lot of the other Mavericks players were kind of sleepwalking through the beginning of the game. He helped the Mavericks close the gap in the first quarter. But his rebounding, I mean, Kyrie Irving is actually averaging 5.2 rebounds per game this season, which ties a career high, believe it or not. He's averaging a career high, I believe, on 3-point shooting too, or is close to career high. He's 41.4%. His career high is 41.8. Just a great game from Kyrie, and I think what Kyrie has meant to this team this season is really summed up by that one play that happened where I'm forgetting who on the Suns made. I think the Mavericks and Suns were battling for a rebound. It was about to go out of bounds. Kyrie Irving dived into the stands, saved the
It was the
ball
play,
in.
Luka
Yeah.
Nicole got tied up underneath the Suns basket, and then it got, it was right by the sideline, and Kyrie dove for it, and just, I mean, it's a
And I
great play
think
that you
PJ
brought up.
Washington had a layup on the other end, right?
Ever since he's been here, like, I know, even I've said it at times, like, he's been passive and whatnot, but I just love how he can play, like, within the flow of any game. Like Jalen Brunson on the Reddick podcast a couple years ago talked about how playing with Luka is sometimes difficult to get a rhythm, which is fair. Like it's a fair criticism, but just because you don't have the ball in your hands all the time. But Kyrie's willing to like play off ball. Like he can get into the game whenever he wants. And he's willing to let Luka kind of cook, and then he can attack when he wants to. Like I don't think people realize like you can't take that for granted. Like it's just not as simple as star come here, star come there, and they can just fit in seamlessly. Like Kyrie being able to do that with, his obvious offensive skill, but he's still willing to play off ball because he kind of understands what Luka is and what, the different looks he's going to get playing off of Luka. Rotating defense against Kyrie, like come on, but it looks
Man.
like tonight where he scored 123 points.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, portability. We hear that word thrown around a lot on NBA Twitter, but it really does define Kyrie Irving. You can put him in any system and he can be successful. And I just feel like his game is on another level right now that we haven't seen in Dallas. I mean, I didn't watch a ton of Kyrie Irving when he was in Brooklyn, but it really feels like he's, playing at that prime level, being able to shoot the three at a high level, but also just his finishing at the rim is incredible. He knows exactly how to turn his body to avoid blocks and get the easy finishes at the rim on dribble drives. I mean, he's truly a ceiling raiser for the Mavericks. I mean, Luka Doncic, as they said on the broadcast, is good enough to really carry you through the season, but having Kyrie Irving just as another guy who can do a lot of those same things takes your team to another level.
No, absolutely. Like, I mean, Kyrie has proven to be the second best player on a championship team. People forget, but he has done that, playing off of a ball dominant generational player. So, I mean, he has a track record. I know there's been a lot of missed basketball games between now and then, He had the unfortunate injury in Portland this year that was, I feel like anyone in basketball probably would have got missed games with the Dwight Powell injury. I feel really confident about, his availability the rest of the year, injuries permitting and whatnot. And, couldn't be happier that he's a Dallas Maverick. It's gone way better than I even thought it would just since the trade happened. I can't say enough about him. And I'm not in the locker room every day, but I can just feel that he probably has a immense impact in that locker room for the young guys and the vets, even Luka. Like, Luka's a hothead sometimes, I hate to say, but sometimes he can run hot. And Kyrie's just kind of always a zen, calm,
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you saw at the beginning of the game, I think Luka got off to a bit of a rough start in the first quarter with some turnovers and missed shots. But Kyrie Irving checked back in towards the end of the first quarter. Immediately, Mavericks made a run to cut it or to even take the lead 32 to 31. And
That
not
game
only
was
did
teetering in the first quarter. Like,
it was.
it was getting a little sketchy, and Kyrie kind of just short lead. And I think they trailed 33-32 at the end of the first. But I mean, that was huge for the game. Like Mark Fowler always says, you want to stay connected as much as you can. You don't want to get like a big deficit early on. And Kyrie kept us connected in that first quarter.
Great reference to the great Mark Fowler right there. I mean, even in the second quarter or second half, sorry, the Mavericks lead, which at one point was like 12, had gotten down to, I think, 6. And the Suns were threatening to make a run, but the Mavs were able to get an offensive rebound, kick it out to Kyrie Irving for a three. All of a sudden, the lead goes back up to 9. So just being there, being able to make timely shots, being calm, like you said, best attribute from Kyrie Irving. And now he's really playing at an all-star level. I think he would have made the all-star team if he didn't miss so many games with that freak injury in Portland, like you said.
His numbers are great this year, but like honestly, like he could have better numbers if he really wanted to. Like I really think that. Like he can be more aggressive, but he just kind of like goes with the flow, does what the team needs. And I think honestly, even playoff time, I think he'll even pick it up another notch. Kind of like we see Luka pick up another notch, like in playoff time. I think Kyrie, just kind of how he's played, I feel like there's another notch left in his game that he can pick up aggressiveness wise.
Absolutely. We haven't seen him in the playoffs in a long time, so I'm excited to see that, and hopefully the Mavericks will be able to see that without playing in the play-in. I want to transition to kind of the last thing, which and it's two things which tie together. One, which is kind of like, what do we think this team's ceiling is? And obviously Luka's MVP candidacy, because I think if they are able to, finish in the higher range of outcomes that we think they're capable of this season, then I think Luka, his MVP candidacy gets a big boost each and every win that they get.
You're asking me what I think the ceiling is for the Mavericks? If you want me to be genuinely honest, the ceiling, like everything goes right for this Mavericks team, we're having a parade in downtown Dallas in June. That's the ceiling. I'm being serious.
No, I
Like
know.
Luka's
I believe
Luka's
you.
that good. We have size. We have Kyrie. Like, just give me health. Just give me
Exactly,
health. And
exactly.
I'll take us against Denver's going to be tough. Clippers are going to be tough. Oh, man, it sucks. You got to be good teams to get there. And like, we have a good team. We have a really good team, and they're going to get better, I think. Like, there's still some chemistry stuff that they can gel with. Like, if you're asking me, just to answer this first question, what's the ceiling of this Mavericks team? Parade in downtown Dallas in June. Genuinely believe that. I'm not even trying to like,
No,
be a homer. Like, genuinely believe
I agree with you. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to go as far
that.
as to say that they're going to win the championship.
I'm not predicting it. I'm just
Yeah,
saying
no, I
what the
know.
absolute ceiling for this
Yeah,
team is. Parade in
I
June.
know. I agree. I think Western Conference Finals is realistic at this point. I mean, call it an overreaction to a 7-game sample size, but in this span, the Mavericks have beaten the Thunder, who just blew out the Clippers tonight. They've beaten Phoenix, who's a good team in their own right. And yes, they've beaten some lesser opponents like the Wizards and the Spurs, and then the Knicks without Jalen Brunson, Sixers without Embiid. But good teams go on win streaks, and unlike last year's team, this has been the opposite of a fraudulent win streak. The Mavericks' defensive rating has been great during the win streak. They've been scoring at a high level, continuing to do so. Their two stars are playing with the most cohesion that we've ever seen. And now you add PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, Maxi Kleber suddenly looks like the player of old. It really does change the way that I think people have to look at this team.
Have to. I don't think people realize how just horrible the front court depth was. And just adding, like, even if PJ Washington and Gafford are just solid players, like, that's huge. Like, you're going from bad to solid is just a huge difference maker. And you add that to the best backcourt in basketball, you're doing well.
Yeah, I mean, these were franchise altering trades, dare I say. Because the
Oh,
Mavericks have
man.
not been known for being a tough, like, tough interior team since they had Tyson Chandler. And so this is the first time since then that the Mavericks truly have a strong front court, which is crazy because that was literally, 13 years ago at this point. I mean, they did get Tyson Chandler back in 2015, but he was older. The team was older and not as good. I think 2011 was really as far as you have to go back to see that the Mavericks had like a front court that was this, tough on the inside. So, I mean, we've seen what that could do for the Mavericks and, add that to a generational talent and a great co-star and, the sky's the limit.
Absolutely. And I mean, toughness, every championship team needs toughness. You can have all the skill in the world, but you have to have toughness. And I mean, Luka brings a certain type of physicality every night. Like, I know we've had small teams, but I mean, he just brings this different type of physicality that teams aren't ready for. Like, when he attacks and just brutalizes people, like, that's demoralizing. And then you add like offensive rebounding from Gafford and Lively, rim protection from those two, It's hard not to get like too excited about this team, and like that's why guys like Tim Legler are high on this team too. But I mean, the pieces are there, and everyone knows how good Luka is. Like, oh, they missed the play-in last year. Oh. People know when it's playoff time how good that guy is. Like, he's one of the
Yeah,
best
come
playoff
on.
performers of
Yeah.
all time. I know it's whatever sample size is, but I mean, it's a good amount of sample size. We got
It is.
the bubble series versus the Clippers, another series versus the Clippers, who everyone thought were horrible matchups for Luka. How's he going to get by those wings? And then that one Western Conference Finals run, like. He's proven it time and time again. All these youngsters, they want to compare to Luka. They got to prove it like Luka does. So stop comparing people to Luka.
And a great rant right there. I mean, people forget how injured them. I mean, I'm not excusing them missing the play-in last year, but people forget Luka missed 2 weeks out of the blue down in the stretch run of last season post All-Star break with an ankle injury. Kyrie Irving was in and out of the lineup dealing with plantar fasciitis. I'm not saying that what happened last season should have happened, but there are some injury caveats that you could apply. And people forget what Luka was doing before that last year too. He would have been an MVP candidate if the Mavericks had a better team. And now the Mavericks, as Jason Kidd just said, post game, this is the first time the Mavs have been deep in a long time, and that's absolutely right. It's probably the first time they've been deep since he was a player in 2011. So, what would it take for Luka to win MVP or at least finish in the top three in MVP voting? Because it still feels like people aren't giving him the respect he deserves in the MVP race.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like when people talk about the Mavs win-loss record in the MVP discussion, it's almost like we're like a, I don't know, like a lottery team, almost like the way we're discussed. Like, we're 10 games over 500 now. We've had so many injuries. I mean, I know MVP voters don't want to take that into consideration right now, but we've had so many injuries with this team. Like, I think it'll take care of itself personally. Like, I think we'll finish top four or five, and I honestly think Luka's going to win MVP. Is that
He
crazy to say?
It's not crazy to say. I mean, he certainly has the momentum behind him. I think if the Mavericks
it's going to be about health, honestly, too. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, if the team stays healthy, if Luka stays healthy, then they're, hopefully going to continue winning, hopefully continuing to push up the standings. I mean, I think top four is still a bit of a long shot at this point, but, if they can finish top five or even top six, right? I think if Luka is the scoring leader, he's putting up the numbers he is, the Mavericks go on a, post All-Star break run. I don't see how you can't give it to Luka. He's been pushing for this award for a few years now, and it finally feels like they have the team to support him. It just, like you said, health is really the thing that it hinges on.
Yeah, and there's a lot of games left, but I he's going to be in there just as long as he stays healthy. Jokic, Shea, Tatum, whoever else up there, like, they're all great players, but genuinely, I think Luka's playing the best individually this year.
Yeah, and let's hope that he can continue
as a homer.
And maybe that's a homer take, but I mean, if you look around the league, like, it's hard to see any other player that's producing at this level. Maybe Embiid before his injury,
but now the injuries are taking him out of the race now.
Yeah, exactly. So I would love to see Luka be the second Maverick to win an MVP. Would love to see him be the first Maverick ever to win the scoring title.
We need a Mavericks MVP moment that's not depressing.
Yeah,
that's not
great,
unbelievably depressing.
Great point. I know it's very Maverick that their one MVP was in the most depressing circumstances, but
yeah.
I don't know. It really feels like this is the most optimistic that I've felt and most people have felt about the team in at least two seasons. And it's an exciting place to be because You know, yes, the 2022 team was great, but this team feels like it's the most complete roster that we've ever seen.
No one talked about that 2022 team before the playoffs like we are right now. Like, I don't think anyone really thought that team had that type of ceiling before that. I mean, it's easy to say now in hindsight, but people did not feel that Western Conference Finals ceiling for that team, at least in the moment. And if you did, show me the receipts. But I don't think a lot of people did.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that team played well, but a lot of their success was as a result of hot shooting, and we saw what happens when the shooting dries up in the Western Conference Finals, and you don't have another counter to that. This Mavericks team is the opposite of that. I mean, not the opposite of that. They're still a good shooting team. I don't think they're quite that level, but they just have so much more versatility with Kyrie Irving, with PJ Washington, with Derek Lively, Daniel Gafford. Josh Green is now, you know, a more developed player compared to back then. It's just a lot more looks you can throw at defense, and I think that makes the Mavericks less predictable and harder to scheme against. And when you have arguably the best player in the league, anytime you step on the floor, you know, you have a great chance to win any playoff game, any playoff series.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Not much else to say to that. Like,
Yeah.
things are going well right now. I'm waiting for the, in life when things are going well, it's like you wait for the bad stuff to happen sometimes. But I mean, man, it's going so well right now. Just
It
keep it
is.
going.
It is. You know, yeah. The Mavericks begin a stretch of nine straight games against Eastern Conference opponents. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy because they play Cleveland in that stretch. They play Boston. They play
Here,
Indiana twice,
I'll tell you the next four
Miami.
games right now.
Yeah.
Sunday they play the Pacers. These are all on the road. So these next four games: Pacers on the road on Sunday, Cavs on Tuesday. They've been one of the best teams in the NBA lately. Raptors Wednesday, and then the Celtics next Friday. So that's going to be interesting four-game road trip. But I mean, honestly, since Luka's been here, I really think this team has like a maybe not that first year, but last few years, I feel like they've been okay on the road. Like I'm not, they're not Dallas Cowboys-esque where they can't win on the road. Like they can, they don't poop their pants on the road, like they can handle composure.
Yeah, they've been one of the better road teams in the league this year. So I'm not too concerned about, you know, the road trip. Again, I think for the remainder of the season, there's more road games than home games. So that'll certainly be a factor, but
Those are going to be
yeah.
tough games. Like even the Toronto game, like that's on a second half of a back to back. So,
Yeah.
you
And
know,
Toronto plays hard every night too, so
absolutely. So, and the
yeah.
Pacers have, I don't think we've, did we play the Pacers when they had Siakam?
No, we play them twice in the final
I
26
remember
games.
Siakam, like he worked Grant the one of those
Oh
games.
yeah, against the
PJ
Raptors earlier in the
Washington, I
season.
think PJ Washington's a better look to throw at him. Rick Carlisle's an offensive genius. Like it's gonna be a tough team to defend against. It's gonna be kind of similar to today, where hopefully you can get some timely stops here and there, but they're gonna put up numbers like you expect it. Like Haliburton's a special offensive talent. It'll be a fun game.
Yeah, and the Mavericks will be going for their longest win streak against Rick Carlisle since when Rick Carlisle was the coach. So, you know, I'm sure Rick Carlisle, being the psycho asshole that he is, has that in his mind and he wants to spoil it. So it's going to be a tough game, I no doubt. But
Yep.
it's exciting. It's exciting.
Yep.
But yeah, Vinay,
Well,
I don't know if I have anything else. You got anything else?
just keep it rolling. Sunday, here we go.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, yeah, thanks everyone for tuning into this episode of the Mavs Film Room podcast. Glad we could get back with, you know, a regular style podcast. I know we've been doing spaces a lot, but appreciate everyone who's been listening to us both on spaces and here. Thanks, Vinay, for your inputs as always. And if you haven't, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts,
Oh man.
Spotify. Took the
Oh.
glasses off finally.
Yeah. Cool.
Follow us on Twitter
All
at
right.
Mavs Film Room. Never miss a tweet from us. And yeah, we'll be doing these podcasts more regularly, hopefully down the stretch of the season. So go Mavs. Let's keep it rolling. We'll see you soon.
Peace.
Peace.